and the world of traditional and folk music. Fun again. Just one new album coming our way this week, and this is the debut solo album from Mick Kinsella. Mick Kinsella is a very fine harmonica player from Carlow, now living in County Waterford. And harmonica, interestingly enough, is the title of the album. This is a lovely piece from that called Canyon Moonrise. Nice, isn't it? A nice start to the programme. Canyon Moonrise, the title of the piece there. Composed by John McCann. If I'm not mistaken, John McCann is an Irish-American guitarist who featured on some of the early Celtic Fiddle Festival recordings. Canyon Moonrise, the title of that piece there. Taken from Harmonica, new album from Mick Kinsella, and we will return to that again over the coming weeks here on the programme. Now, our first song on tonight's programme comes from the Dublin singer Susan McKeown. Even though Susan is from Dublin, was born and grew up in Dublin, she's lived for quite a number of years now in New York, very prominent on the New York song scene over the last number of years, herself and her band Chanting House, which was actually founded here originally here in Ireland, but most of the members moved to the United States where they continued to play together. Susan has a solo album released for the last few months entitled Lowlands, and this is a song from that. It's The Snows They Melt the Soonest, the song which has been collected in many different traditions, and apparently was first published in Blackwood's magazine in England in 1821. The Snows They Melt the Soonest from Susan McKeown.
The snows, they melt the soonest when the wind begins to sing, and the corn, it ripens fastest when a woman
There were Johnny Cunningham on fiddle and Aidan Brennan on guitar from her album Lowlands and the Snows. They melt the soon as well. It's been a very mellow start to tonight's programme, and we're going to keep it that way for the next few minutes as well, because we're going to hear another air, this time from the pen and the fiddle of Liz Carroll. Liz was in Cork last weekend playing at a number of different events in the Opera House there as part of the celebration of the T.G. Carr Traditional Musicians of the Year Awards, and she played some wonderful music indeed, including this piece that I thought was really lovely and thought it would be nice to play for you. It's called The Lament of the First Generation, and as I said, composed by Liz, featuring Liz here on fiddle with Zan McLeod and Seamus Egan on guitars, and Wynne Horn also on fiddle. called The Lament of the First Generation. They're composed and performed on fiddle by Liz Carroll, incidentally taken from Liz's most recent album on the Green Linnet record label, Lost in the Loop. Well, now to the main business of tonight's programme, and many people were saddened in the last month or so to hear of the death of the former RTE radio producer, Brendan O'Keeffe. Over the years, Brendan O'Keeffe travelled the length and breadth of Ireland and met and interviewed hundreds, if not thousands, of people in various different parts of Ireland about their lives and about music and about culture and so on. He visited Ennis late in 1972 and met up with a number of musicians whom he interviewed in the town at the time, and included among the musicians who met up with Brendan in late 1972 was the Milltown Malbay, Illan Piper, Willie Clancy.
Willie Clancy, what have you just played for us?
Well, they started off in Band of Anglana, and after that, I had a reel, the copper plate reel.
Mm. Willie, you come from Milltown Malbay in County Clare. How much of the traditional background of music in County Clare had any effect on your interest in music?
Well, I suppose all my earlier influence. Since I was a youngster, I was surrounded by music and being in the family, father and mother. Most several of the neighbours around at the time played the music.
Mm-hmm.
Old people, of course, had told of the old stories and associated with the great pipers, the travelling pipers and fiddlers. Maybe I give a little too much time to the music and not enough to the book.
Willie, your family, there was a tradition of music within your particular family. Was it a piping tradition?
Well, it hasn't, mind you, no, they didn't have the pipes, but the instrument my father loved above all instruments were the pipes.
Mm-hmm.
Since he was a youngster, he used to be in the company of Garrett Barry, blind piper from Minor, quite frequently. And he never had any time for, well, he liked other instruments, but the pipes outshone the whole lot of them, you know. My father thought there was something wrong with a fellow's ear if he didn't like the sound of the pipes. He was so fond of that.
Yeah, I know quite a few people who might be inclined to disagree with him.
Yeah, that's right.
You know, when did your interest in the pipes begin? Can you remember? Well, the pipes as a separate instrument of music. I could see that you might be musically inclined, but when the pipes?
Well, my father was always talking about the pipes to me and trying to explain the pipes and his various sounds, and that even though while he was taught me the whistle when he was, started me off on the whistle when I was about 5 years old, but he was always preaching Garrett Barry. Garrett was the St. Patrick of music as far as people in Whistler were concerned. Yeah, yeah. He was the great apostle of the music there. I suppose being blind, he was a very talented man. Along with being a great piper, he was a wonderful singer. My father used to say that as well pleased as I'd be to hear him playing the pipes, I'd prefer to hear him singing. Apparently he was the last one in the shen house singing.
Your father would seem to be a split personality, musically speaking anyway, that he was both pipe inclined and vocally inclined.
Well, he thought the pipes, of course, were the nearest thing to the human voice, especially not those kinds of pitch pipes, not so much as the flat tone pipes.
When did you get your first set of pipes?
I got it was about 21 or 2 years. Mm-hmm. I was wishing for them for 10 years before that, but of course there was no hope in those days.
Why not?
Well, they're too expensive. Couldn't afford it.
Now, how did you go about getting your first set of pipes?
I got the first practice at Bag Billis and Chancer. Mm-hmm. I got it from a man who died very recently, Nottingham, poor Felix Stone. Felix gave me practice at one night. He was camped out near the graveyard, Kyle Treem, outside Milltown. And that was the happiest man ever came in that road. Mm-hmm. That night when he was there, practice it. That's what it was.
Yeah, yeah. Could I ask you, Willie, to play a slip jig for me? There is a slip jig I like myself. I know what the Irish title is, a Ducatu Shees Fil Rimnachlum, and so far as I know, translated into English, it means, will you come down to Limerick with me? I'm not asking you to come to Limerick with me, I'm just asking you to play the piece of music. Will you do that?
Oh, one of my favourites.
What makes that one, the trip to Limerick, or will you come down to Limerick with me? What makes that slip jig a favourite of yours, Willie?
I think it is the if natural effect I like is in traditional singing. Mm-hmm. Some of the if natural and see natural seem to stick out a lot in Shanoa singing. There's kind of a horn in them and all Dreocht kind of sound. It appears that way to me anyway,
like,
you know?
Malath and
Shan
of
Rail. Oh,
man. Willie, a formal musical education, learning all about the technical side, the theory of music and what have you, how much of that did you ever have?
7 to 9 months of theory.
Well, no, you know, you have a great knowledge of your own instrument, the pipes. Where did all this knowledge come from? How did you acquire it all?
Well, I suppose I had a natural curiosity for since the first time I saw Johnny Dorn and Artemis and Felix Dorn's brothers. Brother playing in the street in Milton, playing at the race meetings in Milton. I watched every tickle he did with those pipes, you know. Mm-hmm. And of course, a piper has to be mechanically, very much mechanically inclined as well as musically inclined to keep this troublesome bunch of sticks in some kind of tune, you know.
Yeah. How many separate, looking at the instrument you have with you, which is an Ilim pipes, I think, isn't it?
That's right, yeah.
Yeah. Well, now, how many separate...
So there's
musical movements, or how many separate movements do you have to make to provide your sounds?
Well, there are seven tubes in it. Chancer, three regulators and three drones. But what's normal is to see army men looking in and playing a chanter with both hands and tapping the regulators with the heel of the hand of the anchor toe with his hand, and then blowing the bellows, mm-hmm. and also controlling the air in the bag. So that's one, two, three, four.
This is before you start to make music
at
all.
That's right. Well, almost, yeah.
Yeah. The pipes you have...
And the most important part, try and coax it along.
I've heard about that. Yeah, well, I've run into that trouble myself at various times.
Yeah.
The set of pipes you have, Willie, how long have you had them?
I've had this, it's about 20 years, but I didn't get it tuned up till 10 years ago. This set was sent to me from America. It was made in America by one of the Taylor family, the great pipe makers. Originally, they were organ makers in Drogheda, I believe. Mm. They went out to America, and the Taylor pipes are very famous. I'm not saying this one is the best, but it's pretty good. But one of the finest sets to have is down in your own city. Michal Ray has one of the finest sets of Taylor's pipes, I think, is in the country.
Yes,
I wouldn't mind having that one. He'd better watch them.
Michal will watch them, I can assure you. There's a bit of a story behind that set of pipes.
So I know all about it, yeah.
You started off, you mentioned to us earlier on, Willie, you started off learning the tin whistle. Was this because possibly it wasn't financially possible to buy a set of pipes at the time that you were the young fella?
Well, there was no sign of pipes when I was a young fella in the locality. The tin whistle, there was plenty of flute players, or mostly tin whistle players. Mm. My father played the tin whistle. He played the concert flute, but he was getting on a bit and had lost the teeth and couldn't control the ears or the blowing of the flute so well. So I sat in the tin whistle, I suppose, when I was 5 years old. Anyway, at that age, I wouldn't be able to hold the pipes or span my fingers for the chanter, you know. Mm-hmm. I sat in the whistle when I was about 5 years old.
Well,
he told me one day, he saw me taking the whistle out of my pocket, and he said, you know, he was telling me 20 years after, so. I said, "By God," he said, "the whistle was as big as yourself."
Well, you're a hell of a lot bigger than your own whistle at the moment, Willie, which I am just about to hand over to you. Would you show us your expertise on the whistle? What will you play for us? I think you were thinking of something called the Legacy, weren't you?
Oh, I think that's right, a double G called the Legacy.
Away with you. Have you any comments to pass about tin whistlers?
Well, of course, the trouble is that they don't start young enough. In this day and age now, and everyone wants to play and everyone wants to be cock of the walk and making a few bubbles and what have you.
Which is important.
Yes, but you see, in our time we learned when we were children and our minds were small and we were satisfied with our efforts.
Mm-hmm.
And consequently we were getting a bit more mature mentally, I hope, and the playing was coming along a little bit. But most of the fellows now have learned a lot about music, about the dance music and the years and all that. Maybe they're 20 years and they've learned quite a bit, you know. And then they think that they expect their fingers to respond to what they're thinking up here.
Mm-hmm.
Well, then you can't expect fingers to do that.
Mm-hmm. If you were to give one word of advice to a budding tin whistle player, to somebody who was starting to learn the tin whistle, what advice would you give him?
I give that advice that an old man gave me years ago. Take it easy and break the lumps.
That applies to more than tin whistle playing, Willie, doesn't it? It applies to a whole lot of areas.
The spade and the shovel and all.
Another air on the tin whistle, or another piece of music on the tin whistle, Willie, preferably a slow air. How would you play?
I'll try Berv and Benshin Lohra.
You did that the wild. Dealat willi agus na lavidia de chad riav. Willi, is it possible for somebody like you, somebody as expert as you, somebody as musical as you, somebody as accomplished as you on the pipes and on the whistle, but with a reference to the pipes, we're back to them again, to define for me what the art of piping is, what it consists of?
Yes, that's a big one. There are so many different styles, and it is hard to define. There's a staccato style and kind of legato style.
How would you describe your own style, Willie?
Well, it should depend on the mood, I mean, and the pictures I conjure up. If I start to dream of Johnny Dorn, I play more with the legato or open style. Mm-hmm. If I think in terms of Seamus Innes, who was a great fan of mine,
yes,
then I revert to the staccato or close, mm-hmm. with the old tricks and...
Mm-hmm. But to become really expert at the pipes, to become an exponent of the pipes, Willie, is it just the knowledge of how to blow wind through the reeds and how to manipulate your fingers? Do you have to know more than that? Do you have to know the people? Do you have to know the songs? Do you have to know your country in effect?
Oh, sure you do, of course. That's one of my weaknesses. I don't have the language. I'm always lamenting it. You can't do it. I feel it don't do justice to one ear because I don't. You know, you don't know the word. You must think of the words. Seamus Innes told me what he would need to know at least one verse anyway to justify the playing of an air, you know?
You may not know your Irish vocally, Willie, but certainly you know your Irish musically, I would say that, so I wouldn't say that you're at any loss at all here. Who were, while you were growing up, during your musically formative years, after you met the pipes at the age of 20 or 21, who were the musicians that had most effect on you, that... helps you to acquire a style of your own?
Well, of course, I got a fair grounding from my father in the music in general, and he was always quoting the Garrett Barry playing and the playing of the pipes and the peculiar sounds to the pipes, you know?
Your father, obviously, from what you said at the beginning of the chat, was very important.
Oh, just was all pipes. There was no other instrument as far as he was concerned.
Yeah.
And incidentally, the flat tone pipes.
Yeah.
He didn't go too much with the concert pitch.
Mm-hmm.
But of course, then the Johnny Dorn and Felix Dorn, his brother. I used to play in the quartet with Leo Ross and Martin Messing.
Yes, indeed.
And then, of course, I was very much influenced by,
mm-hmm.
well, Tammy Reichen, Heather Broad on your own county, and Seamus Innes, of course.
Is it possible for one to start learning the pipes, Willie, without, let's say, a home background or without a special grow of some kind or another, or some kind of inherited grow for the pipes?
Well, I think it is very important in the pipes above anything else.
Yeah.
Because there are so many things against you playing the pipes. There are so many things that can go wrong in the air of tune.
Mm-hmm.
For instance, with the fiddle, you can go out any day and get any string you like, get a bow, get anything.
Yeah.
If a reed goes wrong on this, or I want a new reed, a man could make 20 reeds for me, but maybe one of the 20 made just suit, and I'd be lucky at that. That's the trouble with the pipes.
Well, it's
better
than
home
making. Any reeds go wrong at the moment, Willie, would you play us another old bar of that? I'll tell you what, my favourite, I've said this so often that I feel like a parrot, but my favourite dance music is the hornpipe. Would you give me an old hornpipe?
That would be good, yeah. Yeah.
Thank you.
Willie, have the pipes been fully explored as a musical instrument? Do we know just exactly what the pipes can do? The reason I'm asking this is I heard two young lads recently, Finbar and Eddie Fury, one of them playing the pipes. They were apparently using the pipes in a way I had never heard the pipes used before. Is there further development to come from the pipes?
I should imagine so. I think I heard that record. I think it's beautiful.
It is, isn't it?
He used the pipes in a really great imagination, that fellow.
He really got songs out that we hadn't heard before. Would you say that there is further development to come?
I should imagine. I never have dreamt of that much.
Yeah.
So since that came along without fairly much effort.
Willie, the other question I'd like to ask you come from Milton Malbay. There's a very strong musical tradition, traditional musical tradition in County Clare, but apparently there would appear to be an extra strong pocket of it around Milton Malbay. How come?
I don't know, maybe you're not altogether, that might be supposed generally, but it's just as strong as several other places.
Well, it's very strong on County Clare anyway, Willie.
It is clear.
Is there an explanation for this?
I don't know. It was always there, I think, to a great extent, you know.
You know, when you were growing up, for instance, you mentioned the fact that you always felt at a loss because you couldn't speak Irish, not very well anyway.
Yeah, yeah.
Was there a Gaeilge tradition in your home area when you were growing up? Was there Irish? Was there any Irish spoken?
Some of the old people had quite a shade of Irish and make a lot of their remarks in Irish and things they wouldn't want to hear that said in Irish, I suspect, you know.
Yeah, in other words, they didn't speak Irish to the young people, they just spoke Irish amongst themselves.
I think it felt, especially when that's something they didn't want the president to know, you know.
How old are you, William?
54 years, come on.
And a shade, as you said earlier.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, in actual fact, you learned no Irish at all from your parents when you were growing up?
No, I didn't, even though it was very much in the family. My grandfather had quite a bit of it, I believe. But somehow my father didn't have any of it, very little.
But at the same time...
You're brought out in the music, I think, you know.
This is just what I was going on about. At the same time, you can play airs, particularly slow airs, on the pipes. And give people like myself the impression that you are playing in actual fact Irish rather than playing music. The one piece of music that comes to my mind is that wonderful thing, Cossum Tú Báin. Play that as if the words and the music were all the one thing. Would you give us an old
I like to think that way about it. I give it all to have the language.
Thank you.
Willie, when you were growing up, there wasn't an awful lot of money available. There wasn't money available for pictures or for going too far away from home or various other things like that. How much did poverty, if you like to call it that, how much effect did poverty have on the interest in music that people had in areas like Clare, do you think?
I suppose, I think it, fortunately or unfortunately, I think it had a say in it. I suppose we were happy at home in a small way, but we didn't look for anything like that. Well, especially in my case, it was, since my parents played, both of them, father, mother played the concertina and father played the whistle and concert flute. Mm-hmm. I was brought up in that. I didn't see anything beyond that, nor I didn't want to. And I'm still a bit the same way. Well, other people my age and the younger ages, I look for something else, but I don't want to go away from that at all.
How much has music meant to you in your 55 years?
Meant everything. Traditional music meant everything. Mm-hmm. Sometimes they think maybe it meant a bit too much.
Did it interfere with work for
you? Oh, indeed it did. Indeed it did. Yeah.
Any comments on the present day musical scene, Willie? Traditionally?
I wish it to the different setup altogether, of course, times have changed and everything is altered consequently, you know. Mm-hmm. Still, there's a lot of fine musicians going today.
For instance, will the musical tradition, when you and other people like you in County Clare have got a bit older and eventually passed on, if you don't mind my saying so, will the musical tradition in Clare have weakened then? Or is there a strong younger group coming up?
No, I think I'm kind of hoping for the future. Maybe it mightn't be exactly as I would wish it, but still, I suppose everything changes and we change as well as the time says. Mm-hmm. Which I think I've great faith in the future with fellas in West Clare, fellas and girls in West Clare.
That's musically speaking, really.
Yeah. Well, I think there's a lot here. I mean, there's all the age groups in between, you know, the 50s and the 50s and the 40s and the 30s. It's coming down in layers nicely. I think it's safe enough.
And my time is going away in layers too, Willie. And before it goes away, in the final layer, could you give us another piece of music? Could you give us a reel? And Wreckish Paddy, for instance.
I got it. One of my favourites. I played that about.
How about that? The late Willie Clancy there in conversation with Brendan O'Keefe on that recording made in late 1972, just a couple of months before Willie's death at the early part of 1973. And on the former RTE radio producer, Brendan O'Keefe, sadly passed away about 4 weeks ago, or was there yesterday, of Brendan, correct, the Annam Whistle. Well, back to today, back to this week, and back to tomorrow, indeed, first of all, because our first notice here that we have for you is from the Ulster Folk and Transport Museum in Coultra in Hollywood in County Down. And they have tin whistle and flute classes taking place tomorrow, starting at 10:30 in the morning with Tara Diamond, Connor Byrne and Brian McGart. And the classes will be followed by a recital at 3:30 in the education room in the Manor. And that's tomorrow afternoon, and we have news of another great event taking place in the Ulster Folk and Transport Museum. We'll be talking to Robbie Hannon about that on the programme next week. The Bumblebees, they play in St. Kevin's Heritage Centre in Hollywood in County Wicklow tomorrow night at 8:30. And on Sunday night, the Cork Singers Club, who meet in on Spalpeen Faunus in South Main Street in Cork at 9:15 every Sunday night, this coming Sunday night, they welcome Helen Hayes there from East Clare as their special guest. The University of Limerick continue with their series of lunchtime concerts, 1:10 or thereabouts on Tuesday. The next Tuesday, the special guest will be fiddle player Matt Cranich from Cork. That's Tuesday, November 25th in the University of Limerick. American-based band Solus, they're in Ireland next week for a couple of dates. On Tuesday night, they're in Vicar Street in Dublin. On Wednesday, they're in the City Limits in Cork. And Thursday, November the 30th, they're in Dolans in Limerick. The Burns of Aqua Club, Tyg O'Brien from the Burns of Aqua Club writes to me to tell me that Divers Night number 9 takes place in the Falls Hotel in Ennisdiamond next Thursday. Jackie Daly, Manus Maguire, Sonny and Kevin Murray, the Barefield Cayley Band, the Madden Brothers and many, many more taking part in that concert. It's a great annual event in aid of the Burns of Aqua Club, and it's next Thursday night, and that's in the Falls Hotel in Ennisdiamond. I mentioned on the programme last week about Éagsí Díreach Mhaoibh Shuilimhín, which takes place next weekend, the 1st until the 3rd of December in Coolé, and the organisers were in touch with me since and asked me to mention that there will be music workshops taking place for the first time this year, and that's on Saturday morning starting at 10:30 with Anne McAuliffe, Connie Connell and Connell O'Grada, and you can register with Udrás na Bealtaíochta in Ballyvourne if you're interested in those classes. The Straileaf Folk Club next Saturday night, tomorrow week, Saturday, the 2nd of December, presents Nollie Casey and Artie Madeline. And finally, Andy Irvine and Donal Lunny, that's a great combination, play Whelan's in Dublin on Monday, the 4th of December. Andy Irvine and Donal Lunny on stage there together. Right, let's return to the songs. Mairead, Trina Ní Ól, The Spanish Lady.
About the hour of 12 at night, it was there I saw a fair pretty female washing her feet by candlelight. First she washed them, then she dried them over a fire of angry coals. And in all my life I never did see a maid so neat about the floor. 2018, 16, 14, 12, 10, 8, 6, 4, 2, 9. She had 19, 17, 16, 13, 11, 9, 7, 5, 3, and 1. I stopped to look, but the watchman passed. The sea young fella, the night is late. Fire of angry coals, and in all my life I never did see a maid so neat about the stove. She had 20, 18, 16, 14, 12, 10, 8, 6, 4, 2, 9. She had 19, 17, 16, 13, 11, 9, 7, 5, 3, and 1. As I walked back Dublin City, as the dawn of day was on, oh, whom should I say was a Spanish lady when I was weary and forsworn? She had a heart so filled with love, and her love she longed to share. And in all my life I never did meet a maid who had much to say. She had 20, 18, 16.
the Spanish lady there from Mairead Ní Bhunal entry in it, and that's taken from their album of last year, beautiful album too, entitled Idir an dá Halas. That's about all we've time for on tonight's edition of the programme. Hope you enjoyed the music and the chat indeed between Brendan O'Keevine and Willie Clancy. We'll be back with you again at the same time next week. I'll be joined by Leo Ricard. We've heard a few tracks from his new piping album, and he'll be my guest on the programme next Friday night. Going to leave you tonight with a couple of tunes, a couple of reels from an Ennis-based band who called themselves Green On during their brief time on the road together. Good evening, Laura. We'll be seeing you next week. We'll see you next week. Slán agaibh.
Session presented by Áine Hennessy was produced by Peter Brown.
How are you, Sean?
Hello, Tom.
Did you see Jim Ryan on the programme last night?
Was he on the programme? How did he do?
He got up to 250,000.